Welcome to the Igniting Souls podcast with Carrie Oberbrunner. Carrie believes if you want to experience clarity in business and in life, then discovering who you are, why you're here, and where you're going is a must. The Igniting Souls podcast is dedicated to help you do just this. And now, here's Carrie.
Hey everybody, it's Carrie Oberbrunner, and I am here with my great friend, Justin Donald. Justin, it feels like the day is finally here.
It does. It's been a long time coming. I was sharing earlier where, you know, we were supposed to go live and have our launch months ago, and then it got delayed again. And there's, you know, it's just so many things that are out of our control, and then so many things that, you know, impact a launch. And it is hard also just to put a finished product out into the world and feel good, like knowing that you've poured everything you can into it.
Man, this has been in you for a long time. And I've had the amazing privilege of being with you kind of on the front lines where I've seen your impact. And there's a ton of people, and I mean this in the best way. There's a ton of people out there who love you. And I mean, I don't say that to just anybody, because, you know, when an author is about to launch their book and they need help, it's scary to ask, you know, especially if you're a giver and you're a giver. And yet, even though you might have been intimidated to ask, I don't know if you were, I was.
I was for sure.
Were you?
It's uncomfortable to put yourself out there. I feel like normally I'm offering help. So it's weird to be on the other side where, and I get it, because people take great joy in being able to help, but sometimes I don't empower people to be able to do that because I just try and do it all myself.
That is so true. You and me both. In fact, Dave Samuel, here's one of your helpers, your audiobook.
Dave.
Yeah. So we got the whole team here. Kirsten's here as well in that picture, and Faye from our audiobook team. But folks, here's why you want to listen. I'm going to tell you the benefits right out of the gate. Okay. So number one, you should be here if you're an author, because what you're going to learn is how to launch a book. And literally, Tina, my friends here, and Tanisha's here. I mean, all kinds of people are here, including some of Justin's friends and fans as well. But you're going to learn how to launch a book. But the other thing is, Justin, they're going to learn a ton about wealth. And I can share this firsthand. I didn't grow up with wealth. I didn't grow up learning about wealth because we didn't have much. And in some circles, wealthy people are the bad guys, the villains. Like if you look at most movies, the rich guy, the rich gal is the one who's the villain. And I think we have this really messed up view of money, a lot of us. Maybe just start by talking about how people are going to learn a healthy view of money, because your book's all about the lifestyle investor.
Yeah. You know, one of the things I talk about in my book is a lot of the mindsets around money and about creating wealth. And keep in mind, money isn't bad. Mm. You know, a love for money is bad. What money does do is it magnifies who you are, and that will show up. I've seen that show up for so many people. So the person you are, that's who you are. And as you acquire resources and capital or money being one of them, it really just shines a spotlight on who you are and how you show up in the world. So I know a lot of people that have money that are not, you know, the nicest people. But I know a lot of people that have a lot of money that are extremely generous and are wonderful and have huge impact in the world. You know, there's no commonality between, like, you know, you have money, therefore you're not nice, or you are nice, or you don't have money and you are, or you aren't. There's just no commonality there. The commonality is here's how you are before money, and then it magnifies how you are after money. That's what I see.
That's so good. Folks, we have people all the way from Montreal, Canada.
Nice. Right now. My wife and I just did a trip last summer to Montreal and Quebec City and had an unbelievable time.
Isn't it good? Did you stay at that castle looking thing in Quebec?
Well, we didn't know that you could stay at it. So we went there and hung out, and then we're like, oh man, we should have stayed here. We didn't know. So we spent the whole day there. I mean, we just hung out, checking out the views.
My wife.
It was wonderful. Went to that really cool bar in there that.
Yes.
Yeah. It's just so unique with like cocktails and stuff. Drinks you've never seen.
Absolutely. Well, let's talk about that, because in fact, this is funny, but you got friends here. Brenda, big fan of
yours.
Yeah, we hung out in Austin. I now love Austin, by the way. Oh yeah, Michelle. We call Michelle Michael. The Chateau
Frontenac. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So that's the best place. But what I love about you, Justin, is that you appreciate the finer things in life. In other words, there's nothing wrong with gratitude. There's nothing wrong with appreciation. You're not only someone who, quote, makes a lot, but you're someone who gives a lot. And I think that that's one of the points about earning wealth, is that it's not just for you. And so even your book launch, you're giving away a ton back to people in need. Talk about, what is it, the justice something? Tell us about it.
Yeah, so what I did, so the book is about financial freedom. It's about financial literacy, financial education, financial freedom, okay? And so I want people who read it to be able to implement financial freedom in their life. But there are a lot of people in this world that don't even have the luxury of being able to try to become financial free because they don't even have their basic human rights. So there are so many people that are human trafficked in our world today. And this is inside the United States. For those of you that are here, it seems like there's a strong United States presence, you know, here just based on the people that are jumping in. But this is like, you know, sometimes when you're in like a, you know, a first world country, you're like, oh, that's the third world countries. No, it's happening in virtually every state in the U.S. It's happening in every country in some way, shape or form. And so what I'm doing is donating all the proceeds to the Lifestyle Investor. Anything that stems from that is going to a company or an organization called Love Justice International. And what they do is they fight against human trafficking. And the shame is that generally it's kids, you know, that are trafficked, and they don't, you know, they grow up with this life that they truly don't have rights. They don't have their basic human freedoms. And so I want to fight against that. And this organization's in 17 countries around the world doing great work and rescuing kids and just doing amazing things.
Wow. And I know you're a fan of B1G1 and
you bet.
Yeah. And we did that with my launch, and it's so cool. So this is why I'm saying, authors, like, share this right now. We're going to give away prizes to the most engaged member. So if you're here and you start tagging people and you start sharing this live stream, because let's face it, a few thousand dollars would help a lot of people right now in life. In fact, check this out, Justin. In our country, recently, there was this huge debate about the stimulus and the checks. And I mean, I know for some people, the difference in the amount meant food on the table or rent. Let's talk about some of it, because I got to hang with you for 4 straight days and interview you for your audiobook and film your course. And it changed my life. And I don't say that without any weight. I mean, it literally changed my life. I was just on the phone with Will today. I mean, like, I've made choices that after spending 4 days with you, I changed legit things. And that's how powerful this book is. But let's talk about how most Americans and even people around the world don't even have income to help them out in an emergency.
Yeah, I mean, most people don't have an emergency account. And what that is, so I strongly encourage people to have at least 3 months of their total monthly expenses saved up. So in a total pinch and bind, someone can live for 3 months. I think it's even more ideal to have 6 to 9 months. And I know some people talk about having a year saved. And so for
me, crazy when some people are here and they're like, what? I don't even have $50. Instead of feeling shame, your book teaches people how.
Yeah. And really, we work on a mindset first, because really creating wealth is more about a wealthy mindset than anything mm-hmm. else. Because you need to understand that you can get there. And so, you know, for me, I grew up in a very, you know, working class family. I would call us at best middle class, probably below, you know, middle in between low and middle income. And, you know, my family's wonderful. I got a great relationship with my parents, but we didn't have an abundance of things. Let's put it that way. And I even learned a language and a psychology around money that was more scarce because money was scarce. And so I'd hear my parents say things all the time like, hey, money doesn't grow on trees. And that saying stuck to me. And there are a bunch of other ones too, where I didn't even know, like it was just kind of programmed, right? It was a belief that I adopted without even doing my own research. Or, you know, creating my own philosophies around it. And I would find myself saying that even when I had a pretty decent paying job after college. But it's like, I don't need to say that. This is just kind of stuck in me. Where did this come from? And so it's figuring out what you believe and then who you're spending time with, because there's something that exists that, you know, people live in a scarcity mindset, meaning they look at everything as like a scarce resource that's there's not much of, they're hardly going to get it. It's hard to come by. Or you could look at it more abundantly. Hey, there's a lot of this, there's plenty of it for anyone and everyone, and I'm going to be able to partake in this as well. And wealth is like that. You know, people that are wealthy have a wealthy mindset, and people that aren't don't have that wealthy mindset. But that's not something that you're born with. That's an intentional, skill or habit or discipline that you can pick up, which is training your mind to think in a way that's going to acquire wealth.
Man, this is so good. I got to share my screen here, because we're going to just go to your book for a moment. And let me know if you can see my screen.
Yep.
Okay. So here's the Lifestyle Investor. Okay. And we leaked it on December 28th, just as let's get it up on Amazon. You know, today's the official global launch. You already have 50 five-star reviews. It's already a bestseller. Folks, I want you to look at this. You can't hype this out. Okay. Like, number one in commercial real estate. But then you come down and the book is, look at this. I don't know if we've seen this before. Number one, number one, number one. Like, our world is hungry right now to learn these 10 commandments. I endorsed it as well as a bunch of other, because I believe in it. In fact, Justin, this is pretty cool. A gentleman who just commented here named Doug, I'm not even making this up. Just look at his comment, okay? He came up to me at conference when you spoke, and I've never seen someone so fired up. Like, he was emotional. And each speaker is different. You know, like, some people really resonate with one speaker and other people. This guy came up and he's like, oh my gosh. Like, Justin, like, the world needs to hear this. And Doug is so passionate about this. He has a course called You Versus Money, but it's like you two were like brothers, and he's a believer and shares a faith. And all I'm saying is, like, when people get it, they get it. Look at this. My son came home for lunch today and shared his first net worth statement.
That's awesome.
So, I mean, is this from your book? Like, he's already implementing some of this stuff. I love it. So, talk to us, Justin, about why the world right now in 2021, post-pandemic or current pandemic, why is this relevant today?
Yeah, Doug, you know, thank you for the comments. And man, I am so impressed with you. And I love the legacy that you're building for your family, because that's going to have ripple effects in generations to come. So kudos to you. I wish at 23 years old, I was thinking this way and talking this way and acting this way. You know, my start was not that fast. And so it's going to be cool to see what your son's able to do and the lives he's able to impact. But, you know, for me, this is, I just think that you have to be careful who you listen to and what advice you take, because a lot of the people that are sharing their so-called expertise don't practice what they preach. And so a lot of people, you know, they sell products that are higher commissioned products because it benefits them, but they don't participate in those same products. So a lot of people don't think through that, you know. And another thing is, you know, when I first started investing, I didn't ever ask the person I was investing money with, like, you know, hey, give me an idea of how you're doing financially. You know, I'd like an idea of, you know, what you've been able to do with your net worth. Because I want someone that has experienced what it is that I want to experience. So I think that's important. And by the way, there are great people out there in the financial services industry. So I'm not trying to give any, you know, paint anyone in a bad light. I think the financial services industry is really, it's in need for a facelift because there's a lot of manipulation. And so I have some issues at the foundational, fundamental level with the way that some of the products they use are sold and the philosophies that they, you know, share, the impact that they have, the fees. There's a lot that I don't like about it, but I know there are a lot of great people out there that do good work on behalf of their clients. So it's not that everyone is bad. And to me, it's also, there are a lot of people that they don't know better. There are people in this industry that all they know is what they've been taught. And so, and they haven't questioned it. That's
it. So it's not that their motives are all
right,
but they just haven't learned better. But, you know, I don't know if you know Ellie. I don't know if I know Ellie, but her son bought his first car cash, 25K, and she jumps down and says, and he's saving for a house with $20,000 in the bank after purchase of a car, and he's 18. You kind of sound like this. When I, you know, our company was able to, you know, work with you to publish the book and the course and all this stuff. But you seem like this guy who you had this early trajectory where you started asking questions. And didn't you get a life insurance policy at a young age? And people were looking at you like, what the heck? You know, talk a little about some of your journey and your wife and your daughter and all that good stuff.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, when I was, you know, younger, I mean, when I graduated college, I was a few years out of college and I was looking at getting a whole life policy. And most whole life policies are not designed the right way. I mean, most life insurance in general is not designed the right way. However, if you find someone that really does great work, you can actually craft these things to be amazing. And I knew that a lot of successful and wealthy and high net worth individuals utilize these policies in a way that instead of looking at it from a death benefit, allowed you to use the living benefits. And so I remember this process of like figuring out this policy and I had my friends that were like, this, you're doing what? Like, you don't have kids, you don't have a wife, you're investing in what? And you know, and these are like, I had smart people that were very like successful in my world, telling me not to do it. And, you know, I'm just lucky that I trusted my gut on this one. And I knew what other people that were, you know, living the lifestyle that I wanted were doing. And even at a level beyond my mentors at that time. And then I'd also done a lot of my own reading. I mean, I was a student of this. And so I ended up getting my very first policy, a very big policy. It was actually a corporate policy as an individual because I believed in this so much. And I, you know, this is years before I got married. This is before I met my wife. I wasn't even dating anyone. I was a single guy at that time. And I just believed in this. And it turned out to be one of the best investments I've made because it was the foundation of everything I did. And most people don't realize that when you have a whole life policy crafted the right way, you can actually borrow against it like it's a bank and use that money for other investments. And that in itself is nice because you don't have to jump through the hoops of getting a loan from a bank. But secondly, here's what a lot of people don't know. Let's say I've got my policy here and I take a loan from this policy over here and I invest it into real estate and I buy a rental property. well, this rental property is cash flowing and it's making me money right here. But I actually didn't take the money out of the policy. I only took a loan against it. So I'm still earning my dividend over here. So I've got the same money working in two different places, earning me two different returns, which is exactly what the banks do with fractional reserve lending, how they lend out the same dollars more than once and earn multiple returns. And so I figured if this is how the banks do it, and they also invest in a lot of risky stuff too, you know, derivatives and all kinds of different things. I'm not doing that, but I figured I want to model what the most successful banks have done. And so that's what I started to do. And so I elaborated on this and gave several examples in the book on this exact strategy.
Yeah, you did. And I mean, you lit a fire under me and I brought you to the conference. I listened to some of your masterclasses. I know you don't just have the book, you have a mastermind and you have masterclasses. But I jumped into this because here's what I know. And Doug would share my perspective. For those of us who are kingdom minded, you know, we believe we're here on loan. We believe that we're supposed to invest our talents and our treasures. And I know you believe that too. Why are we not being our own bank? You know, why are we all doing the same thing and living in a poverty mindset and a poverty mentality? Like, I realized a long time ago, there's got to be some secrets out here that the wealthy know. And I like money because of options. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, back in the COVID period, in spring, I didn't pay myself for a few months. And I was able to run the company and pay our people. But like, oh my gosh, in the past, paycheck to paycheck. And all of a sudden, you're forced to make decisions that you otherwise wouldn't have to do because of money. Does this make sense?
Yeah. Well, and think about it this way. There's a reason why most people don't know these strategies, because who wants your money the most?
Government.
Yeah. Well, the government wants their taxes, so they want to make sure you can pay them, right? There's no doubt they want their money. You know, the banks, they want your money. Wall Street, they want your money. So if they can condition and cultivate the education that we get mainstream from schools, from commercials, from financial advisors, from wherever, then what ends up happening is we give money to banks. We let our money sit in a bank. We put our money, you know, in the stock market or with these different companies, and we do what they want so they can take our money and make more money on it. So that's why most people haven't heard about this, because the people that want your money spend the most money on the education.
And everything you teach, I mean, I really did some deep digging, because I, you know, I'm an ethical guy and I'm like, this is crazy. Are you sure? And yet I found it to be true. And even this was interesting. Even the IRS, you and Will both say this, but they put right on their website, like, we believe that you shouldn't pay more taxes than you're supposed to. Like, the IRS wants you to pay, or let's say this, they create laws so that you pay the minimum, but not every little things, Justin, like this. You can pay your kids to be employees.
That's right.
Talk about that a little bit. And is your child an employee? And why is that a smart strategy? Again, folks, this is called The Lifestyle Investor, 10 Commandments. Can you hold up that beautiful copy? Yeah, hold that right up there.
You
right
bet.
The face. I like it. Keep going. A little bit higher. It is tricky. It's like reverse. But Justin Donald is the investment world's new Warren Buffett. That's not light. So talk about the kid employee thing. We already talked about the bank strategy. We talked about the life insurance. Folks, Justin is so generous with this. And it's 99 cents as a Kindle. And he's giving the profits to Love Justice. Everybody should be tagging everybody and sharing this thing right now. So talk to us about some of these.
Well, I appreciate it. Yeah. So you can pay your kids as employees, and there are, you know, certain thresholds with which you can do it. You know, you can't pay, you know, your 8-year-old child $150,000. But your kids aren't going to owe taxes on that money. So you might as well max that out and pay as much as you can. And so depending on who you talk to,
12,000, right?
Yeah. So yeah, 12,000 would be the cap. Some people will tell you it's 6,000, but you for sure. I mean, I've read enough online and the people I work with say for sure you can go up to 12,000. And so that's what I do.
Me too.
But also I want to point out, like, I think this is great. I want my daughter involved in my business because I want her to learn how to do this. I want her to learn, you know, so she does a lot of like shredding of papers and taking out the shredded papers and taking out the trash and sorting, you know, files. And like, I want her in my office. I want her involved in stuff. I want her feeling like she's part of the business. And so she is working for it. And, you know, another little trick of the trade is if you list, you know, if you take a picture and you put them, you know, your kids on your website, for example, which I do, I've got my family on there. Well, that can be, you know, modeling, you know, and kids get paid, modeling dollars for, you know, for that same sort of thing. So
this is like, folks, you've got to catch this because Justin, man, I'm telling you, you lit a fire. I don't know if you can see this, but yep. This is my son, and we got articles or books. So he's on Amazon. And I mean, I took this so serious. He's now an author. And
that's so cool.
Right? Like, I can pay him now not only to write the books, but also it's marketing, like right now what I'm doing. So you're telling me that you can pay your kids and you can then they don't pay taxes on it. Talk to us about this. And you can contribute up to 6,000 of that toward a Roth.
Yeah. So, I mean, it adds up, especially the more kids you have. And remember, this is money that you're then deducting because this is a salary or this is, you know, a wage of some sort. And then they're not paying taxes on it. Then they can put a maximum of $6,000 into a Roth IRA. There are actually other vehicles that they can use as well. But now they're taking that same money that they didn't pay taxes on and putting it into a vehicle that grows tax-free. And what greater, you know, tax situation can you get? Like, that's the ultimate. You've got, you got your taxable accounts and then you have your tax-free growth accounts, and nothing's better than tax-free growth. Like, that is the creme de la creme.
How many of you have learned something? Type in the word learn. We can't even keep up with the comments. People are saying, mind blowing. My kids were employees and we turned around and put that income into a Roth. Nice.
Good, Doug.
Yeah. Yeah. Pay your kids.
Doug's on it, man.
He is. I'm telling you, like when you spoke, I got to introduce you to, but this is amazing. I mean, this can literally change your life. Imagine if, by the way, you got to see this. 20 people just hit, watch this, learn. I mean, that's this cool. Blowing up here. Oh my gosh. So you are literally handing people, even though they might not have a birthright of riches, even though they might not have had connections, your book is literally handing someone a map that says we're gonna remove the mystery of wealth and give you the commandments. Why did you call it commandments? That's a pretty strong word, man.
Yeah, you know, so a couple of things here. Number one, I want to say this because I think this is really important, is that the most important thing you can do around money and your kids is teach them about it. Mm. It's not giving them money. It's teaching them about money. And if you can give access to money in a way that can really support them in life goals, I think that that's incredible. But the greatest gift around money is the education, that they understand how it works, money in motion. And so, you know, that's important. But yeah, I use commandments intentionally because it is a strong word. This is like a foundational word. And you know, like you think about like, When you think of, you know, typically of the Ten Commandments, I mean, that is a big deal. Like, these are the laws that you honor. This is what you do. You know, if you believe in the kingdom, you know, then that's it. And so to me, this is like, I want to create that for investing and create like a framework, a pathway so that people can experience financial freedom and financial success if they follow these things. And by the way, if you follow all of them, so it can be a checklist. Like, let's say that you find an investment that checks off all 10 of the commandments because they're criteria for investing. Well, that sounds like a pretty good opportunity because you're going to cover all the most important things. You're going to cover the risk of the investment. You're going to, you know, have an opportunity for upside. You're going to get cash flow, all these different things. So to me, it is important because instead of investing based on emotion, which if you've ever done it, you're going to get burned at some point if you do it based on emotion. If you haven't yet, it's going to come. And most people make the wrong decision. When the stock market crashes, they take money out. When the stock market is peaking and at its highest point right now, they put money in. And so you just got to be careful not to be making decisions based on emotion. So I like having commandments or criteria because then I make decisions regardless of the times, regardless of emotion. I make decisions based on facts. Does it uphold this commandment? Yes or no? Okay, that's very binary, right? Okay, that's a yes. Let's move on to the next one, so on and so forth. So now I'm not making emotional decisions. I'm making decisions based on a checklist.
It's so good. What's your vision for this book? Because, you know, I don't know if I'm allowed to say how much your top end mastermind is, but it's an investment. And yet you have that where they have direct access to you. And then you have an ebook for 99 cents. And I know some people kind of said, don't do that, man. Like, why would you charge this big amount and you have waiting lists? You know, why would you charge this and then give it away for 99 cents? Talk about your vision, because I think, like, if anybody watching this does not get multiple copies of this, either physical, your audiobook's going to be releasing soon, but especially the Kindle, I bet. I'm not a prophet here, but I bet in the month of January, I'm gonna bet that you're a Wall Street Journal, USA Today bestseller. I mean, that I've been involved in every step of this book. That's how popular and needed this message is. What's your goal?
Yeah, well, you know, for me, my goal is impact. So when I wrote this book originally, the whole point of it, I mean, friends have told me for years to write a book, like teach this stuff you're doing. And it just hasn't been enough motivation. I've wanted to write a book, but I just haven't committed the time. I've always had so many other things. And so I never made the time for it for years and years and years and years. And then one day my buddy said, well, hey, what happens if you die and your daughter never learns all this great stuff that you know? And I was like, man, all right, you got me. I mean, it was just like a punch to the solar plex, you know? And so days later, I started writing the book. So it started out as really just, you know, a tribute to, you know, my daughter and something that she could look at if anything ever happened to me. And then if other people benefit from it, then they benefit from it. But during the process of writing, I had so many people involved that were, I mean, just part of it, that we're reading it, that we're helping, that we're like, oh my goodness, you know, this is a total game changer. And so a lot of the feedback that I got along the way, you know, has created impact. And so I had said, you know, if this book just creates some sort of positive ripples, you know, even if it impacts just a handful of people, to me, that's worth it. And I've gotten enough stories already from people that that they've had just this tremendous impact. And so I know that it's good. And so for me, like, I feel great about where we are. I don't feel like I have to like press it, push it. Like, we'll finish wherever we finish. This is one time in my life where my goal isn't to scale something. My goal here is just to get out a message and I want people to learn. And, you know, the education helps people on the highest level of living the life they want. The proceeds help people on the base level of human rights. And then everyone in between. So, you know, I hope that there's enough momentum in this, and it creates enough waves that it can have very long lasting and very large impact, because it just benefits more and more people. But it's funny, I remember when I put this out, I had people that I was working with that said, you should only have high-end products because you have a very prestigious, luxurious brand. And so that should be it. But to me, I just felt like so many people would be missing out if there weren't more affordable options, because most of what I do is, you know, it's at a pretty high price point. And it's intentional. I mean, I'm trying to weed people out for certain things that I do, because I don't want there to be any barriers to entrance for the ones that have the ability to kind of do things at a high level. But for those that don't have those means, that doesn't mean that they shouldn't have any access. I want them to have a tremendous amount of access. I want them to have as much access as they need to be able to get good results in their world. And it starts somewhere with everyone. Starts with, you know, $100 with everyone at some point in time, and then it continues to grow. And so that's why I have the book. That's why I have the podcast, you know, Lifestyle Investor book and podcast, and both of which, you know, the podcast is free. The book is practically free. If you do an ebook, it's 99 cents. And then we have, you know, the hardcover and the paperback, which, you know, for some people, they want a physical book. Like for me, when it's like a financial book, I like to dog ear it. I like to highlight it. You know, I want a physical book. And then we got an Audible that's coming out whenever Amazon decides that they want to release it. And
yeah. You know,
play ball with us.
Man, this is so good. And I love the fact that you're saying, look, I want to help people at all levels. What would you say to the person who says, you know, Justin, I'm too old, or I'm too young, or, you know, just these excuses, or I don't have enough education. I don't have any cash flow to work with. Do you believe that those are just lies that we're telling ourselves?
Oh, yeah. I mean, we deceive ourselves so easily, and we are so good at it. We don't even know it. It's almost like it's easier to not even try, because then you won't fail. But I mean, one of my clients is 56 years old. I've got another one that's 65 years old. And in fact, one of my clients, and I wrote about this in my book, his granddaughter said to him, hey, you know, granddad, I want to start my own business. What do you recommend? And he goes, you know, and she's 13. And he goes, you know what? You can start your own business and I'll be supportive. But what would be really cool is to see you start becoming an investor. And I've been learning about being a lifestyle investor, and you could start that at 13 years old. And so she has money invested in something that is producing, I think somewhere around $100, $108 a month, something like that, as a 13-year-old. But he's great because he's breaking it up into, like, you know, here's what you're going to save, here's what you're going to give, here's what you're going to spend. You know, it's really cool.
That is so good.
And by the way, I should mention, if anyone goes to my website to get it, if you go to justindonald.com/book, there are a lot of free resources that I'm giving away on my website. So if you went to that link, not only does it redirect you back to Amazon anyway, but you'll pop back into that website. And you, like, one of the things I'm giving away is like a one sheet on the 10 commandments, which I think is really cool. And then another thing that I'm giving away. So once you get past that page, you'll see that I'm giving away the first module of the online course, which is cool. And then I'm also giving away the first part. So part one of the audiobook, where you and I, after each chapter, we went further in and did an interview, you know, kind of David Goggins style, which I read the book Can't Hurt Me by David Goggins. And in the audiobook, I listened to the book. And in the audiobook, it was so cool because at the end of the chapter, there's just a conversation. And it was like, oh, this is cool. I'm listening to a podcast that is an audiobook. It's like, all together, this is so neat. Wow, and yeah. And so I was just thrilled. So, I mean, the proceeds all still go to charity. And, there's one other free thing too. And I can't even remember what it is. Access to a 75-minute class on learning how to create financial freedom.
Well, let's answer that question, because Wendy just asked, what is a lifestyle investor? And folks, here's what I'm going to do before he answers that. We have some prizes we're going to email some people as well. So Tanisha and Michael, if you can pick the most engaged members. And we're going to mail out some gifts as well to compliment Justin's amazing value he gave today. So now is the chance, folks, to tag somebody, to share this, because we're going to be looking and seeing if we got anybody who's really amped. So what is a lifestyle investor?
So a lifestyle investor is someone that invests in a way that supports their lifestyle. So for example, I worked really hard to get away from my time producing income, because if my time is producing income, then it is focused in one area and it can't be with my family or doing the things that I want to do. I'm attached to the way that I make money. So a lifestyle investor is someone that earns their income off of assets or off of their capital. So it's independent of time. So income comes in regardless of the activities you're doing. So you're not tied to a job. It doesn't mean that you don't work. It just means that you find the most inspiring and purposeful work that you can do to really share your gifts with the world and with your community. But when you buy your time back so that your income is not based on time, you can spend it exactly as you want. You can spend it in a way where you're using your gifts, where you have a life by design versus a life by default, instead of just going on schedule or autopilot or responding to this urgent issue and then that problem and then this fire. It's actually being intentional with where you spend time, and hopefully that time is spent with those that you love most. First with your family, next with the other most meaningful relationships in your world. So a lifestyle investor is, you know, I coined that term because it's different than any other type of investor out there. And I just wanted to capture the essence of buying your time back and having freedom of time.
Man, that is so good. We're going to hit some whys, folks, because I see some people saying, this is what I heard. I don't know how to break through. So, you know, we've heard different comments here that some have been, you know, that COVID is destroying my business. Now, listen, I know who said that, and my heart goes out to that person. And I know someone who literally had a office space rental. And I mean, like, COVID is a problem. Like, but I also believe, Justin, like you, that we can be a victim who lies in bed, blame excuses and denial, or we can be a victor who takes ownership, accountability, and responsibility, OAR. There's someone here who just said that their friend told them they don't have any money to invest. Now, let's just take that apart. I don't have any money to invest. And I know we got to just, let's break that apart. First of all, is there someone who literally has no money to invest? Or what would your advice be?
Well, there's always a way to find money. It might be at the sacrifice of something else. There might be something that someone has to agree to maybe take a break from or put on the back burner for a period of time. I mean, we all earn income and we all choose the way that we spend that money. You know, people don't have to live in as big or as nice of a house as they live in. They don't have to spend as much on eating out as they do. They don't have to spend as much on their car payments as they do. I mean, those are kind of your three biggest categories, you know, of expenses. So, you know, I will always argue that if you are really resourceful, you'll find a way to create extra money. But at the same point in time, I talk about this a lot in the book, like there are tons of deals that are out there that don't even cost anything. I mean, I talk about like how you can invest as little as, you know, $100 to $1,000. But there are deals that I've done with $0. There are deals that you can do where people basically want to, you know, sell their home and move into something smaller, or, you know, maybe they're going to move into like a retirement community or something. Maybe even a nursing home, and you have an opportunity to be able to buy their home, you might be able to negotiate terms, something called seller finance, where you can put $0 down, you come up with the terms at work, you find a renter, and then you pay the cash flow, you know, whatever you agree to based on what you can rent the place for. So, I mean, this happens all the time. I see people in my community do this all the time. and it's no money down. And I've done several no money down deals. You know, one of the biggest deals, and I give an example in my book of a deal that I do that didn't cost any money, that ended up being one of the best deals I've ever done. So, you know, it's where you're looking. I mean, I get that COVID is tough.
Oh yeah.
On a lot of levels for a lot of people. So I don't want to brush that to the side at all. But COVID also is an opportunity to reinvent yourself for a refresh, for a transformation. And you know, another thing to consider is, like, I was reading the other day that there were more applications for business entity formation than at any other time, you know, in the last 5+ years. And it happened, you know, during COVID. So there's more new business opportunities taking place than maybe in history, for sure in the most recent history, stemming from this. So again, it's like you said, victim or victor. And that's not to take anything away from someone that is experiencing a tough time. Like, that's real.
Oh yeah.
But can you look at the silver lining? Can you look for what could be the next chapter or a better way of doing things or a new idea? Because more businesses are going to start, more successful companies and businesses are going to start from this last 8 months than probably any other 8 months in the time that any of us have been alive.
Oh my gosh. It is so true. And that's why I love your book. It's not just theory. You teach a principle and then you say, let me show that with a story. And let me show that not just with my story, but with real people, real clients. And so one of the things I love about your book is that type of new thinking. And it's the type of thing, Justin, where we filmed that course in September. I've forgotten some of the things, like, because it's so rare and foreign and you don't hear it all the time in the marketplace being talked about, there were concepts that it just undid me. Can you give an example of one of the commandments? Feel free to pick up the book, because as an author, whenever I get asked, I'm like, I don't know, I got to go look at the book. So feel free to pick up the book, but just read out of the table of contents. And Tanisha, I'm going to ask you if you can Slack me, you or Michael, the winners, and we're going to start giving away some prizes and getting mailing addresses and mailing out some merchandise and swag. And here they come. Here come the winners. So first one is Valerie Cobb. I will tell you that I think Valerie said she bought 5 Kindle copies. Oh, here it is right here. 5 Kindle copies and gifted them. $5.
That's cool.
$5 could buy you a Frappuccino that you feel good for 5 minutes and it's done. Or you could buy 5 Kindles, give them away, and literally change someone's legacy. Like, not just their life, but their legacy. Talk to us a little bit, and then I'll give you the other winner after that. But keep being engaged, folks, and we'll go about 11 more minutes. So what is some commandments?
Yeah. So the commandments are, like, so near and dear to my heart, because this is what I've lived. You know, I've been investing for 22 years. And, you know, part of this is, you know, as a young 18-year-old, that's when I started investing. And I just did the only thing I knew how to do, which was invest in a Roth IRA. And since then, I've self-directed Roths. I've done all kinds of different things. And I've gotten even more creative and I've started using more alternative investments. But when you look at what I've done, I mean, my commandments are not something that were just pulled out of thin air. I mean, this is what my investments, and I outline this in my book. Like, when you look back at the track record of 100+ investments that I've made, you can see the pattern. This shows up. So, you know, number one, commandment one is lifestyle first. To me, it's really important that you're not creating another job for yourself unless it's an upgrade to what you already have. So in other words, I had a job, but that job was fine. But it was, basically I was a slave to the income that I made. And I was a slave to the security of knowing what I was going to do, what I was going to make, that I knew how to do the job. And I didn't want that. And my time was like just commandeered, right? Like there's certain times a year that we're a busy season. There's nothing I can do to change that, you know, that, and the business would, like, without me, it doesn't function. So like I truly am the bottleneck to the business, but at the same time, I'm, you know, part of the engine. And so to me, I wanted to make investments that didn't involve my time, or at the beginning, it was, how do I invest in a way that produces income that's less of my time than what I'm putting in over here for earned income? So how can passive income earn me more than earned income? At that point in time, if I can do it for less time, it's worth it. And at some point, if I can phase myself out, that's great. But now today, you know, I don't want it to cost me time. You know, I want it to be a truly passive investment. You know, the second one is reduce the risk. And that one is like Warren Buffett's number one rule of investing. Don't lose money. How do you protect an investment so that you're not going to lose money? Because getting it back, like if you lose half your investment, it costs you twice as much. Like you have to work twice as hard to make that back. And then you forever lost the opportunity to earn money on those dollars. So I don't like to lose money. Now, anyone who invests at some point in time is going to lose money. That's just part of it. That's part of how you become a better investor, a more sophisticated. So don't ever put too much money in one place. And when you do invest, recognize that it may not go to plan. It may take longer. You may get not as strong of returns as you want. And I like to invest in things where it's really hard to lose all your money. If you lose, maybe you lose a little bit, but if you make it, you do really well. That to me, I like that asymmetric risk reward. You risk a little, but your reward is great. And if you have a bunch of those, it only takes one to pay off. You could lose all the rest of them.
I remember you doing the audiobook. It's fantastic. And you were explaining how most wealth firms, you go in and you say, they assess your risk. In other words, they say, the more risky you are, the more wealthy you could be. And Justin blows that whole thing up and says, why is it linked? Why do you to be so risky to make more money?
They're not connected. I mean, that's the biggest fallacy out there, that you have to take more risk to get a greater return. I mean, that is just not intelligent. I mean, why take more risk to get a better return? You know, yeah. I mean, even if that is
doing that,
huh?
I don't see Warren Buffett saying,
yeah,
you know, I'm just going to risk everything because I might make stuff.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense. And in fact, if that really were the way that it worked, then I just wouldn't take much risk. Like I would just get really small returns and that's fine. You know, but there are ways where you can have little risk and high return and you just search for it. But I would much rather little to no risk and a medium return than large risk for a great return. Mm. That's an important point.
Mm. So I don't know what you think about this, but this is a great question, and we'll take time for one more after this, and then we'll wrap up with some action items. I started investing $20 a week. So first of all, is that even cool? $20 a week?
Yeah, whatever you can invest is cool. Like any dollar amount. So you're strengthening a muscle to be able to invest more as you earn more, or to be able to invest more as you maybe decrease expenses. So anytime you're strengthening that muscle, that's a good thing. I started with a little money. You know, I mean, when I first started investing, I was maxing out a Roth IRA at 6,000. Actually, back then, I think it was either 5,000 or 5,500 a year. So whatever that is, divided by 52 weeks of the year. So, you know, that was my total. That's where I started. And because I started early and I strengthened that muscle, it made it a lot easier as I made more to invest more.
Mm, it was a principle that you did. So that's the lie that people believe is, once I have money, I'll invest.
Oh, kind of, yeah.
Person who says, once I have money, I'll be generous. It doesn't work like that. You have to build the character while. I love that. So Justin, this has been intriguing, and man, let's give some love to Justin here. Type in thank you, Justin, if you got value, and think of one person you can tag to get the 99-cent Kindle. I mean, and he's even giving that back to Love Justice. So talk to us, Justin. What do you want from, I mean, why are you doing this? You know, yeah, it's not free to work with me. It's not free to create books and courses. You've invested some significant time and money to bring this message to the world. Why?
Yeah, you know, I mean, one thing, it's interesting when all is said and done, it ends up being a costly investment to write a book. And so, you know, you have to have a lot of things that go right to be able to cover some of those costs, depending on how deep you want to go, right? So and first of all, like, the biggest sacrifice is the time. So like, what I could have earned for the time that I spent writing, where I could have been looking at other investments, you know, that's a true, you know, opportunity loss cost or a trade-off. Mm-hmm. And, but this was worth it to me. And I've had friends, I'll tell you, one of my friends is like, why are you giving away your secret sauce? This is, you know, you're doing great here with this. Now you're going to give it to the world. Like, aren't you worried about, you know, other people doing it and less opportunities for you and yada, yada, yada. But to me, like, I told you this before, I live in a place of abundance. And I think the more people doing this and the more people having this, the better. And maybe even the more people doing this, the more this stuff becomes standard and commonplace from an investment negotiation standpoint. So I just, to me, it's like, if you got good stuff, give it out. And if you're really that good, you can be good when everyone has your own stuff. Like, the greatest at the greatest people at the things that they do can still be the greatest when everyone else has all the same information, right? So I just don't ever want to make decisions out of fear. I just always want to be in a strong abundance and strength minded place mentally.
Well, listen, Justin, you've been the client that we have invested the most time in, and that's a compliment. It means that, I mean, I look at all these people here, and you might know them, you might not know them, but a lot of people did background stuff for you. What do you want to say to the people that you know are now Justin fans? They're evangelists for your content. They've been behind the scenes. Anything you want to say to the world on your special day?
Sure. Well, I just want you to pay it forward. You know, if we can impact people positively and change some lives, I think that would be great. Something I would really like to say is to, you know, Carrie and your entire team. I mean, it's just been a pleasure working with you and working with Kirsten and Dave and Brenda and Danae and Tim. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. I mean, some of the people that we're working with, I never officially got to meet, and I didn't have that privilege. But I mean, there are so many people. I just shared some praise with one of the people on your team that touched up the family plan, my annual family and marriage plan.
Natalie, maybe.
Natalie. And like, I told her, what she did was unbelievable. I've never met Natalie. She crushed it.
Yes.
And so, like, your team has just been magical. They've been easy to work with, great to work with, super impressive for, I mean, all these people here, I think, are your fans, like, for life. But in case they don't know, you are actually just great at what you do and provide an amazing service, and you hire and bring on and coach top-notch talent. And this book would not be what it is today without your team. And without all the extra hours and, you know, your team being patient with me for being, you know, meticulous, and I'm really not a meticulous person, but when you're putting a workout into the world.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Well, and even Tim just jumped on and we had a blast with him. So you got a whole new fan base, man. But I'm so proud of you. I know what it's like to launch a book, and this is your special day. And we're just going to see this book. Watch, folks. It's going to just get into the marketplace. He's already been on a ton of podcasts. I think it's going to go big time. So, Justin, thanks so much for being here.
Thank you. I really appreciate it. And I appreciate everyone who chose to spend their time investing in this and listening here to us. And I really just ask, you know, I say this in my podcast. This is how I finish every podcast, is take one more step towards the future and opportunity that you want in the world and creating the dream life with financial freedom that you truly can have.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, folks, Justin, here's his website one more time. We got the Amazon link here. We have justindonald.com and then also /book. On behalf of our branding and book company, Ethos Collective, we're super excited, Justin, and thank you for just being a light in the world.
Can I ask a favor of the audience?
Do a review if you're
yes.
not
sure that. Yeah.
Folks, when you purchase a book, you are now a verified buyer. And for you, here's what I would challenge you to do. You all have great hearts, but I know that life happens. And you might say, well, I know I just bought the book, but I'll do a review in 3 months. Here's what Justin needs today. If you found the last 60 minutes helpful, you just read the book, meaning you just got a sample. Go on and review the content that you heard, then read the rest of the book. In other words, you don't need to go to a restaurant and eat every single meal on the menu to rank the restaurant. You just need to eat one. You just sample Justin, rank him on Amazon, and we're so proud of you, my friend.
Thank you. And Goodreads apparently is a good place that bypasses some of the crazy Google or, you know, yeah. well, the way that Amazon uses Google and social yeah. media. And video reviews have really populated well. So I'm learning all I've got. It's so crazy how many reviews Amazon denies because they think that you know people.
It's crazy, but we are stronger and the Igniting Souls tribe is here to support you. So let's bring them up to 100 in the next few days, folks. Okay.
Thank you.
See you.
Appreciate it. Bye.
Thanks so much for listening to the Igniting Souls podcast. As a subscriber, we challenge you to be more than just a passive listener. Show up, filled up, and become a member of the tribe. Visit us on the web at carrieoberbrenner.com. Remember, the most powerful weapon on earth is the human soul on fire.